John chapter 10, we have some tremendous statements in here of the Lord Jesus Christ and the shepherds. And although we're talking here about sheep, the thing to remember is that we're mainly talking about people, and so often in the scriptures, people and sheep are almost coexisting. In fact, the sheep are used as a term for human beings because of their attitude. And in fact, we look at this sermon now and look at this passage, and we ask ourselves, how do we recognize the true shepherd from thieves and robbers? And it isn't always easy. You see, the trouble is that we have this door that we have to enter in, the false claims of the evil one who climbs over the wall, and we are told here that these people that don't are not genuine, they climb up over and go in another way. They don't go in the door, and they try to seduce the sheep away from the true shepherd. And in doing so, the sheep can so often recognize his voice, and in fact know that he's not the genuine article. And we referred here, you see, that Jesus used this illustration about the sheep. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And yet they by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they don't know the voice of a stranger. And Jesus, we are told, used this illustration, but they didn't understand what he was talking about, which is so often the case in the New Testament. He used to say things, and then realizing just how incompetent people were to understand it. But on this occasion, he used this illustration. And we have to ask ourselves that when we look at this chapter, we're not dealing just something that happened in history. It's very relevant to today, because not as in Jesus' time, there were false shepherds, there are false shepherds today. And in fact, leading people astray. And I was very struck by the fact that these verses in Isaiah 53, which shows you how we're so often looked upon, and that we in fact, where is it now? Oh, it's all we like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his own way. We think we know better than God, and therefore, that's why you see we are told here in Isaiah 53, which is very relevant, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men. And it goes on to say he bore our griefs. Now this is the same Saviour that we read about here in John chapter 10. And the door of the sheep, this door that we're told to go through, is one thing it does show, that is the exclusive way of salvation. There's no lots of ways. We often hear today, all roads lead to God, we are told. Well, they don't. There's one road alone that leads to the presence of God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. I was only listening this morning on the radio to this idea now of bringing Christianity and Islam together. They call it Chrislam. And in fact, the Pope has been behind this, and when he was out in the Middle East, he met with some imam, and there's this sort of rubbing shoulders with Christianity and Islam, and we often hear, don't we, this say, everybody worships the same God. Well, they don't, and there's only this one door that we can go through to get to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Ezekiel 34, we have the same problem there, where the shepherds, the false shepherds, are dealt with. So it isn't a new thing. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day, he is among his scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land, etc. Well, the irresponsible shepherds are dealt with here in Ezekiel 34. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the flat, clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. Now, That happened then in Ezekiel's time. It happened in John chapter 10. It's happening today. So you see, the Lord Jesus Christ stresses that he alone is the good shepherd, the only way that we can go into the presence of the Father. And because of what he did on the cross, that has made it the way we can go to him through his work on the cross. The word propitiation, which is a big word, people don't like it today. I've heard ministers say, I don't use it because people don't understand it. But part of the minister's job is to explain what these words mean. We must never forget that. Propitiation means dealing with sin and satisfying the wrath of God thereby. It's a strong word. Only occurs about four times in the Bible, but it's very important. Romans 3:25, Hebrews 2:17, and twice in the first epistles of John. But it's a word that, in fact, Jesus would say here, you see. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but this hireling, and the hirelings today are the men that get in a pulpit and deny Scripture. In fact, I was very struck recently. They had a meeting whereby the gentleman that was speaking, talking about the recent coronation of Charles III, and he said, the gentleman that's going to hand him that Bible doesn't believe it himself. And you see the king kissing the Bible. But of course, the Bible is not for kissing, it's for preaching and for believing and for practicing what's in it. And people don't today, you see. They always have this strange idea as to what Christianity is. And in fact, if you were to go down to the street in Hailsham today and stop people individually and say to them, what is a Christian? You might have all sorts of different attitudes. I'll always remember, not so long ago, I was with a friend of mine having lunch in Eastbourne. And there was a lady in front of us in the queue. And my friend is very, very keen to speak to people, an ex-policeman. And he said to her, are you a Christian? Oh, yes, she said. Oh, he said, what church do you attend? Oh, I don't do anything like that, she said. I just live by the principles. Well, you see, that first of all shows that she wasn't a Christian. She might have been a very nice lady, might have been very kind. But that isn't what makes a person a Christian. A person who's a Christian is someone who has repented of their sin, trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and had their sins forgiven through his shed blood. That's the basic of it. And these people that were going around in John chapter 10, the shepherds, trying to seduce people away and telling them wrong things, telling them lies rather than truth. And you see, Jesus, of course, came to give us life and to have it more abundantly. I know my shepherd, mine sheep, he said, and I'm known by my own. They know him. That's always the test. When we think of sheep, I mean, I've been watching recently some of the programs on the Yorkshire Vet on the television, and you see these little sheep being wonderful, really, when you think about it, the way the sheep are born, and very often the poor mother can't give birth on her own. It has to have a caesarean operation, but it's all wonderfully done, and 9 times out of 10 they're born well. They're not dying or anything, and it's wonderful to see the birth cycle being acted out in front. And of course we know that's what happens with humanity. Anyway, the Lord says here, you see, I lay down my life for the sheep, not just lay it down, but to take it up again. No one takes it from me. Now this is another thing to remember. Jesus Christ does not need any help in that sense. He's the sovereign saviour of sinners. He's the one that came into this world, and he's perfect. Never put a foot wrong. Kept the law totally. The only person that did. And that's why, you see, by nature, we are all law breakers. And we need a law keeper. And who's that? The Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody else but him. He's the one that does it. And you see, this chapter here, Jesus the true shepherd, Jesus the good shepherd. And therefore he said, and because of what he was saying, the Jews, of course, again, didn't like it. Said there was a division among them. Why listen to him, they said. He's mad. And this is very often what they used to say. If they couldn't understand him, and of course you remember those phrases very often that we use, what did they do? Pick up stones to throw at him. They loved this sort of thing, you see. That wonderful chapter in John 8:58. I, before Abraham was, I am. And what he was doing there, claiming to be God. No doubt about it. And the Jews knew what he was saying. They perhaps hadn't understood him up to that point, but the same way that there was division and there was anger amongst them, and they were going to pick up stones to throw at him, but he passed away from them, went through them and disappeared. And that's what he was able to do. And this feast of dedication in Jerusalem, we are told it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, and the Jews surrounded him. How long, they said, will you keep us in doubt? The number of times he'd spoken to them, told them of himself. I know my Father, and my Father knows me. He's got this intimacy with the Father all the time. And of course this tells us and speaks to us of the Trinity. Because the Father, the Son, and the Spirit work together. This is the great thing to remember. They work together. They never separated. They don't work against each other. On the radio this morning, a Methodist service from South Wales, and the minister referred to the Holy Spirit as it. But he's not. He's a person. He's not just a mere wind or a mere influence, but he's a person. The person of the Holy Spirit. And it was very sad to hear this chappie on the radio this morning use the word it, and it's just not on. And so you see, when we have these things here about the shepherd knowing the sheep, they said to him, if you are Christ, tell us plainly. And he then gives them a bit of a lecture. He said, I told you, you do not believe the works that I do in my Father's name. And they'd see him going around, healing the sick, and giving sight to the blind. And it was a wonderful way of testifying. And he used to preach to them. And of course it's often said that the God himself, the Father, had only one son, and he was a preacher. He went around preaching the kingdom of God, repentance and faith. And you see here again, a bit further on in this chapter, again, the Jews took up stones to stone him. Jesus answered, my good works I have shown you from my Father. Which of those works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. And because you, being a man, make yourselves God. And of course he put them right. He said, I am the Son of God. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe, that the Father is in me and I in him. That's the great thing. He is in him, and it's the same way, if we are believers, we are in him. Union with Christ, a great doctrine, and one that is so meaningful. And in fact, it's very interesting to note here that it isn't uncommon, you see, for shepherds to know their sheep. And the sheep would recognise the shepherd's voice. And there's so many voices today that are raised which are not true voices when it comes to the Christian faith. They don't see, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ as who he is. You often refer to, you hear him referred to merely as Jesus. Just a good man, just a very noble man, a man who used to help people, a man with strong morals. That's how they see him. And of course the Mohammedans look upon him as a prophet. And unfortunately, I would say without doubt, that they are in fact followers of the false prophet. But the true shepherd, you see, enters through the door. The false prophet enters in a forbidden way. And the false shepherds are following the steps that God has condemned, as we saw in Ezekiel 34. It's all happened before. There's this great thread that runs through Scripture, that the way God deals with people, say, all we have been like sheep and gone astray. And of course, sheep are strange little animals when you see them in the fields. And that's how we are described here, you see. It doesn't mean that God doesn't think anything less of us. But it's a very good illustration. And if we are sheep, we need a shepherd. And we're told who that shepherd is in these verses. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of his great tasks in which he performs today. He's a shepherd over his sheep. Now we're only a very few here today. But there's lots of us like this around the country. But the main thing is, if we believe that the Lord is here, that wonderful verse where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst. And I was reading a sermon not so long ago and said, never disparage small numbers. Because if the main thing is, if the Lord is there, that's what you've got to consider. If he's not there, it doesn't matter whether you've got 500. Doesn't matter. It's a waste of time. But if he's there, you can just have half a dozen or even less. That's the thing to remember. And so you see here now, the shepherd knows his sheep. And when you think about it, salvation, you see, is not something, a haphazard thing. It's something which has been planned in eternity. And when you think about it, when the Lord Jesus Christ says that, or the Father says, I have given men and women and children to the Son to save, and not one of them will be lost. We, of course, don't know who all these people are. And that's why a lesson we can learn very often, when we come to pray for people who are not Christians, never give up praying. Never think that they're past it, they can't be saved. Because God in His sovereignty, in fact I was hearing the other day about somebody when George Whitefield was preaching. He was 100 and he was converted. That's the kind of thing that can happen. So you never want to give up on anybody. Easier sometimes said than done. But we need to be constant in praying for people, even if we, you know, even if we feel despondent about it. We've done it for years maybe. They just seem never to change. And of course, in our own families, it's very often the most difficult thing to do at all, to pray for people. And yet we must do it, you see. And what do the scriptures say? Pray without ceasing. And we should always be there consistently. And I am the good shepherd, we're told. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He's done that on the cross. And we must never forget that. And the fact here that when he talks about the other sheep which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Well, I believe that is talking about Jew and Gentile. And at the end of history, in heaven, there will be Jew and Gentiles together. In a sense, the world is only split up into two people, two groups of people, Jews and Gentiles. Whatever some of the people in Asia or else might call themselves, Jews and Gentiles, they're the only two that, if you like, are recognized from heaven, as being created. And of course the Jews, of course, it's very sad for them even today. They finish at Malachi. They don't go beyond Malachi. And they don't like to read the New Testament, simply because they know it's very often true. And what did the Lord say so often? You've got Moses and the prophets. You believe them. So I'm not surprised that when I come along, you don't believe me. The evidence is there, you see. And this is the point. He brings his own sheep. He goes before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And that's what we must learn today to listen for, is an authentic voice. And we don't have enough of them. The spiritual situation in this country is pretty dreadful at the present time, I believe. And you've only got to keep your eyes and ears open to hear and to be convinced of that. There's an awful lot of people say, oh yes, he's very spiritual. And there's a hunger for spirituality. But there's only one form of spirituality, and it's found in this book. Nowhere else. People bring up concoctions, they bring up these new ideas. And, so often, so many today in Christian worship, it's more known by noise than by sincerity. If you make enough noise, that's all that matters. And you get some services where they're forever singing. It's like one community hymn singing all the time. But that's not what it's about. We should sing hymns and psalms as well if you want to. Not necessarily psalms only, but you can sing psalms as well as hymns. And it's, if they're sung decently and in order. And today it seems, you see, that there's a large section of the Christian church where chaos seems to be the order of the day. They don't seem to follow any guidelines. They don't do things decently and in order. And you go in there now, you see them on the television, and they're all there with their arms in the air, nodding and swaying. And no doubt many of them are very sincere people. But you see, when they're not thinking, and this is another big thing, these true shepherds here, these true people that the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about, one of the great tests of when a person becomes a Christian is they begin to think. They use their minds. And that's the great thing. Because the doctrine of total depravity does not mean we're as bad as we could be, but we're not as good as we ought to be. That's the big difference, you see. And it's only because of what the Lord Jesus Christ does when he comes down as the great shepherd of the sheep, the true shepherd, and he changes all this, he brings about a change in us. I know sometimes and very often we let him down, but he doesn't desert us, because as we were reading earlier, nobody can take him away from him. You can't snatch. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now you see, that's a great statement, because it means if you are saved, then you're not going to be lost the next day. And there are certain Christians today who still believe you can be saved on Monday, lost on Tuesday, and saved again on Wednesday. But you see, that makes a mockery of the cross, because the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, doesn't just make salvation possible, it actually obtains salvation for those it was intended to do. And again, as I say, it's a great multitude, as we read in Revelation, that no man can number. And that's the thing to remember, that we don't know who these people are. And the object of it is, we must preach to everybody. I was reading recently in a book by Donald MacLeod, who was called home to glory last week, incidentally. He was saying about this question of preaching the gospel to everybody, to all the sheep, if you like, all the true shepherds. It is this: you believe the great commission of Matthew 28, I think it is, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the great thing. And he said, you know, you believe that there will be people for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died who will hear that message. And he said, you believe the one and obey the other. That's the great thing to do. We believe in the doctrine of election. But it isn't within our remit to know all the details of that. There's certain things, you see, in Scripture that we need on a need-to-know basis. And there are certain things we don't need to know. And that's why I do say to people, certain Christians who are not too keen on evangelism, and it's this: preach to everybody, let God do the sorting out, because that's what he's good at. He's the one, the sheep from the goats. It's not for us to separate the sheep and the goats. The Lord himself does it, because he knows the identities. And when you think about it, it's almost like a committee meeting of the Trinity in heaven, before the world began, when all these things were decided. But you see, the thing is with the Lord God himself, he's interested not only in the end, but in the means to the end. That's the great thing to remember. And so you see this chapter here now, John chapter 10, where the shepherd is shown to be the true shepherd and warning people against these siren voices that don't tell the truth. And I've often said this before, but so many people today, you see, do treat the Bible as a kind of a first aid box. It only comes out at times of trouble. We're all guilty, I think, of not reading the Bible as we should. And in fact, I'll never forget that survey they did some years ago of Scripture Union, that only 4% of Christians read their Bibles regularly. Now, we each eat very often 3 meals a day, physically, but do we neglect our Bible reading? Oh, I know sometimes we perhaps don't feel like it. We feel a bit jaded. We feel a bit miserable and fed up, and we're perhaps getting old and this sort of thing, you see. But we must stick at it, because the main thing is, when we read the Bible, we listen to God preaching to us. He's the great preacher, you see. The Trinity preaching to us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The truth is here, and the Holy Spirit, through the true shepherds, tells us what's true, what is right. He effectually applies these truths to our hearts, that we know what they are. We know they're true. They sound true. And you see, this is the great thing that we need to remember today, that we so often forget, that we're on the winning side. We're so often despondent. We hear about churches closing, but there are quite a few starting up church plants, and we should pray for them. There's quite a few. You read about it in the Grace Baptist prayer letter. And I'm thankful that they are. certain churches have closed, but then they've been reopened. New life being breathed into them. And what a wonderful thing that is. And so, you know, all is not lost. And in the fact remains that despite what we see in society, which is becoming increasingly secular, Christian people are being persecuted, like the gentleman that was mentioned on the television yesterday, who's had the sack from teaching, because he referred to a human being who was born a woman, now wants to be a man. And they didn't like it because he said, "Hello, girls," and he's had the sack. He's been prevented from teaching. He's a Christian, Baptist, I believe. I don't know where he worshipped, from Birmingham. But this is, again, you see, the kind of thing that's happened. This is where siren voices are being raised, wrong voices, erroneous voices. And we're living in times of great change. But the man is still needs to be saved. We're still, by nature, under the wrath of God, our Creator. We've offended him. We've gone against his law. We've broken the Ten Commandments. And as we're reminded in James, you only have to break one to break all the rest. It's no good saying I've kept 8 out of 10. So that's the thing to remember, that we're under the care of a good shepherd, a true shepherd, a consistent shepherd, and somebody who will never let us down, will not reject us. And even if we sometimes forget him, he does not forget us. And therefore, we're in the hands of somebody who is a good shepherd and a true shepherd, and who knows his sheep, and will always do so. Will never let us down. And so we need to be encouraged in these days, not to be despondent. We need to tell ourselves that, we're on the winning side, that the Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and he's still risen, and he's ascended, and he's now at the right hand of the Father. And one day, we don't know when that'll be, he's coming again. And he'll perhaps surprise us all, because we ask ourselves, are we ready? Are we ready when he does come? How are we going to face, how are we going to meet him? How are we going to stand before him? What are you going to say to us? And may we be faithful in all that we do and say, and to be consistent people in all what he's given us to do, that we might be true disciples. And how much it's needed today for us to be the salt of the earth. Because we know what happens when the salt loses its flavour. Everything begins to decay around us. So let us pray that we might be kept consistent. We might always recognise the true shepherd. And any voices that seem to lure us away, may we deal with them and swat them like you would a fly and turn them away. And just concentrate on this true shepherd that's worthy, that's so wonderfully shown in this book. Let us pray.